This is your community radio station, 88.3 Southern FM.
Australia is involved in an international project to build an astronomy satellite. The actual satellite is being built in the United Kingdom by SSTL, and it's called Twinkle. And yes, Twinkle as in stars twinkle. And its launch was originally slated for 2019, but is, as happens with many space projects, it got delayed, and the latest target date is launching next year. I've got an interview here with the people involved in Twinkle, and I'm going to read the questions here in the studio, and then you'll hear the responses of the people involved. So, first question, what is Twinkle?
Twinkle is a space telescope that's going to be launching in early 2024. It's a $150 million mission, and it's got two primary science goals. One is to study the chemistry of the atmospheres of planets orbiting around stars other than the Sun, and the other is to investigate and analyse solar system bodies like asteroids and comets.
And why investigate atmospheric chemistry?
Okay, there's a lot about atmospheric chemistry we don't understand. It's very complex. A good example of that is the planets we have in our own solar system. We've got Venus, which is another Earth-like planet that has very different atmospheric chemistry to what we have here on Earth. And so just because planets might look the same at a great distance, they may have very different chemistry. What this scientific project allows us to do is to study that chemistry in more detail and try and understand what we might be looking for when we're looking for alien life. We call those biomarkers. One really simple biomarker is the presence of methane and oxygen in the same atmosphere, because those two things chemically shouldn't coexist unless something is producing them. So that's the kind of biomarkers we need to look for, but we also need to understand the chemistry of all sorts of other planets so that we can look for those in the future.
And who is involved beside yourself?
So we've been working with the Blue Sky Space team for quite a long time. They're the lead organisation on the Twinkle mission, but we have a number of other international university partners, as well as some other commercial entities that are interested in using the time from Twinkle.
And why did the University of Southern Queensland get involved?
Well, in particular, we have a very strong exoplanet focus here. That's planets around other stars here at USQ. But we've been talking with them for a long time because we were interested in the mission. The type of science that it does fits in well with what we want to do and what we do here.
And we're asking questions of astrophysicist Duncan Wright of the University of Southern Queensland. So, Duncan, what ground observations are being made to support the Twinkle satellite?
We'll be using the Mount Kent Observatory most definitely in the lead-up. In fact, we're already starting to use it now, because when you're dealing with a very expensive telescope, you want to make certain you're pointing it at the right thing at the right time. And so to maximise the science, we have to do a lot of pre-work. And we're starting that now, even a year and a half or more before the launch. Sort of in the sense that we observe the targets that the space telescope is going to observe before it gets observed. So we know exactly when is the best time for Twinkle to look at the stars, because we're trying to find or study the atmospheres of the planets. So we need them to be what we call transiting, that is passing right between our line of sight to the star. So the planets go around, and if they pass right between us and the star, then it's illuminating the atmosphere, if you like, and we can study it. So that it requires very precise timing.
Is Twinkle a commercial project?
Commercial in the sense of with scientific goals. So most space telescopes, particularly scientific ones that universities are involved in, are publicly funded by, because they're very expensive, by ESA, the European Space Agency, or NASA, the North American Space Agency. And we've had a lot to do with them in the past as well. But this one is a commercial telescope, so that means that a company is behind running it, and us as team members become partners. And in our case, we've been involved from very early on, so we get a very good deal, and also we're founding members, so we get to direct the science that the space telescope is doing. But other universities and companies also buy in to be part of the project itself.
Are you optimistic of success?
So that's a very good question. It's very hard to predict exactly what will happen. There have been some space telescopes that have been incredibly successful and some less so. But I have great hopes that we will have been able to study the chemistry of a multitude, potentially even hundreds of nearby planets orbiting other stars, which is very exciting. There's a lot of variety out there and there's a lot of chemistry and science to understand.
And what might indicate the presence of life on an extrasolar planet?
That's tricky, but I think I would say that definitely, I would put it this way, in the next 20 to 30 years, there are a lot of space missions planned following on from Twinkle, JWST, which also recently launched, which will be able to do some of this kind of science. They will be looking for, as I said, particular combinations of chemistry in the atmospheres of planets orbiting other stars, and when they see them, basically we have to prove that they don't exist in a natural form unless something is creating them. So I think that it's very likely oxygen, and it'll have to be in the presence of water. We do believe water is required for life. So in an environment, but ideally a terrestrial planet that's a rocky planet like Earth rather than a gas giant, though it's not impossible, that we would have a terrestrial planet where we're able to see the presence of water and then a combination of chemistry that we wouldn't expect to see unless there's something renewing it. And that may well be as simple as methane and oxygen, but quite likely is to be something a bit more complex.
And that was astrophysicist Duncan Wright responding to questions posed by the public affairs section of the University of Southern Queensland. Now, here's a little feature about the founding members of Twinkle and what they're trying to do.
We asked the founding member scientists of the Twinkle space mission what excites them about the exoplanet survey program.
Of course, the science is you know, the number one attraction and what really drew me to join the Twinkle collaboration. But I really like the idea of joining with at the early stages of a mission and becoming a part of developing the mission and the science case and advertising it.
Twinkle will actually give us the very first opportunity to look in a wavelength range that has been overlooked by previous infrared missions before.
One of the most fascinating things about Twinkle to me is that it could help us understand more about exoplanets. Exoplanets have made great progresses in the last 3 decades, but many questions still remain.
Well, Twinkle will be one of very few space-based facilities in the next decade looking at exoplanet spectra. It'll launch after the James Webb Space Telescope and before Ariel, which are 2 other space telescopes that will do exoplanet spectroscopy. And I see it being highly complementary to both these missions.
So this is really a playground for all astronomers who are interested in exoplanet to discuss or to sparkle new ideas and to find ways of collaborating to solve problems that have never been conceived.
What immediately fascinated me about Twinkle is the possibility to contribute early on. I enjoy to contribute to new things, to shape things, like being an active member of the Twinkle science team.
It's like really exciting to help with like target selection and seeing which targets are best for atmospheric characterization. It's just really interesting and exciting.
It is an opportunity to characterize exoplanets and to look for things like that might look like the Earth or Neptune and maybe even life in the universe.
Twinkle is very, very complementary to both Apogee and TESS because it does both spectroscopy and light curves simultaneously.
Now with Twinkle, we can sort of fulfill the ultimate promise of those planet finding endeavors and choose those which are most amenable to study for different aspects of exoplanet science questions, but now do the real deep dive characterization and investigation into the real nature of these worlds.
Twinkle is going to be hugely beneficial to our students, particularly our graduate students, but also our final year undergraduate students, offering the opportunities for projects working with new data, fresh from the telescope, which no one else has seen before. And to a newly starting out student, that's a tremendously exciting prospect.
In terms of number of people, number of countries involved, facilities, future data, we will have a bigger scale, and I'm excited about this.
We're going to be having the first dedicated space mission for exoplanet atmospheres, something that hasn't been done before and is well overdue, and it's a new frontier. That's what excites me the most.
If I identified the voices correctly there, the last one we heard, I think, was Natalia Lawson from the University of Southern Queensland. And yes, they were members of the Twinkle Astronomy Satellite Team commenting on their project. Just summarising, the launch is planned now for 2025. It will do visible and infrared spectroscopy of thousands of targets, and these include exoplanets, solar system objects, stars and stellar disks. The primary mirror is 45 centimetres in diameter, and the spectral range ranges from 500 to 450 nanometres. And in April, the company behind this commercial endeavour, Blue Skies Space Limited of London, announced that it had secured further capital investment from its shareholders. So here is another feature about the survey science that the Twinkle satellite will do.
Hello, I'm Richard from Blue Sky Space. This is the latest in a series that will discuss the key scientific, technical, and organizational facets of the Twinkle space mission and its 3-year survey programs for exoplanet and solar system science. Our project scientist, Dr. Billy Edwards, will walk you through various model mission scenarios that will inspire and drive the array of science cases for the exoplanet survey.
Today, we know of over 4,000 exoplanets, around 3,000 of which transit their host stars. Twinkle's field of regard, the patch of sky at which the spacecraft can be pointed, is centered on the ecliptic. Twinkle is then able to point up to 40 degrees away from this plane. Now, while this means some planets, such as those in the initial Kepler field, cannot be observed by Twinkle, there are currently over 400 known planets within Twinkle's field of regard. These vary from small, Earth-sized planets, such as those in the TRAPPIST-1 system, to large, hot Jupiters, such as HD 209-458b. HD 209 has been studied by a number of ground-based and space-based instruments. The modelled atmosphere includes water, methane and ammonia, along with a cloud deck. By performing a Bayesian retrieval on the simulated data, Twinkle would allow for a thorough characterization of hot gaseous planets, such as HD 209, in just a few observations. Surveys such as TESS are predicted to discover hundreds of additional planets within Twinkle's field of regard. Now, not all of these planets, and those that we know of today, will be suitable for atmospheric characterization. Therefore, we have simulated Twinkle's performance for each of these planets to understand which ones we could feasibly observe by setting requirements on the desired data quality. We find that when the mission launches, there'll be hundreds of potential targets for Twinkle. These will be diverse in terms of their size and temperature. Many of these planets will be observable through transmission spectroscopy, others in emission, and some using both techniques. The time required to observe each of these has been used to simulate two examples of what an exoplanet survey with Twinkle could look like. Twinkle's native resolving power varies from 20 to 70 across the simultaneous 0.5 to 4.5 micron wavelength coverage. However, interesting science can also be achieved with lower resolutions. In the first mission scenario, while the goal for each planet was to achieve the full resolution of the instrument, any data where a resolution of greater than 1/8 of this was considered useful. In the second scenario, both the goal resolving power and the minimum were set to half the native. We find that For this first case, there is a split in the final resolution achieved. While over half the planets were observed at full resolution, which would allow for the atmosphere to be well characterized, the rest achieve much lower resolutions. An eighth of Twinkle's resolution is around 10 data points, with which you could determine the cloudiness of the atmosphere. For the second mission scenario, all the planets were observed at around half resolution, which would likely allow for the main atmospheric components to be deduced. Interestingly, the number of planets in each survey was roughly the same, with around 90 being observed. These preliminary studies have shown that in a 3-year survey, Twinkle could characterize a diverse array of exoplanet targets.
The Twinkle team are putting together various scenarios of what the exoplanet survey could look like, but ultimately the scientific options will be decided by the scientists who join as survey members.
And now let's take a look closer into the solar, to our planet, our own solar system. Well, how will Twinkle help there?
Hello, I'm Richard from Blue Sky Space. This is the second in a series post that will discuss the key scientific, technical, and organizational facets of the Twinkle space mission and its 3-year survey program for exoplanet and solar system science. Our project scientist, Dr. Billy Edwards, will walk you through the various model mission scenarios that will inspire and drive the array of science cases for the solar system survey.
Hundreds of thousands of asteroids have been discovered, but so far, only a handful have been spectroscopically studied. Uncovering the composition of asteroids is vital for understanding the formation and evolution of the solar system. And with its wide simultaneous spectral coverage, Twinkle will be able to detect the absorption features of these bodies and will provide particularly valuable measurements of the 3-micron water feature, an observation which generally cannot be undertaken from the ground. Now, unlike the stars, which will be observed as part of the exoplanet survey, the position of asteroids changes over the mission lifetime. To understand when each asteroid will potentially be observable, the ephemeris of each object have been acquired from the JPL Horizons database and compared to Twinkle's field of regard, the patch of sky that the telescope can be pointed at any one time. The brightness of each asteroid during these observable periods has been monitored to understand the optimal window in which to acquire data. The resulting plot shows that thousands of asteroids will be bright enough for Twinkle's spectrometer to provide detailed characterization of their surfaces. To understand the number of objects that could be observed in a 3-year survey with Twinkle, the total time required for a population of objects to be studied has been calculated. This example survey operates on a brightest first policy, and all the objects that are brighter than 14th magnitude were assumed to be observed until an SNR of 100 had been achieved at 3.5 microns. For slightly fainter objects, between 14th and 15th magnitude, an SNR of 50 was deemed acceptable, and these were also observed, bringing the total number of asteroids to around 2,000. These observations would require just under 3,000 hours of telescope time, including some overheads. Including fainter asteroids by extending to a magnitude of 15.5 at an SNR of 25, 3,500 objects could be studied in approximately 6,000 hours, which equates to roughly 25% of telescope time over 3 years. While a large population survey of asteroids, particularly when focused on specific family groups, will undoubtedly bring fascinating results, the study of individual bodies will also provide intriguing insights. One such object could be Apophis, a potentially hazardous near-Earth asteroid that will have a close flyby during April 2029. Now, this asteroid is going to come within the orbits of geostationary satellites passing around 36,000 kilometers from the surface of the Earth. While it will be moving too quickly to be observed during the moment of closest approach, for the week or so beforehand, the asteroid will be bright enough and moving slowly enough for Twinkle to obtain high-quality spectra, like the one shown here. This spectrum has been taken from the RELAB database and the composition based off current measurements. By studying Apophis and other NEOs, Twinkle will inform us about the population of objects within near-Earth space, supporting efforts with other telescopes such as NEOWISE and NEOSIM. These investigations could ultimately help contribute to planetary defense and to asteroid exploration initiatives. TWINKLE's instrumentation will also be suitable for studying comets, searching the comae for the production of water, carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide as the surface begins to sublimate. Characterizing these pristine objects will help develop our understanding of the origins of water and organics in the inner solar system. Monitoring the brightness of comets that enter the field of regard suggests several hundred may be observable with TWINKLE. TWINKLE will also be potentially able to characterize some of the new comets detected by LSST or to help support the Comet Interceptor mission by studying potential targets.
The TWINKLE team are putting together various scenarios of what the solar system survey could look like, but ultimately the scientific options will be decided by the scientists who join as survey members.
Exciting things coming up. Hopefully that satellite will be launched next year. The space show is certainly looking forward to it.